Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to be with you again today. We're kicking off or continuing our conviction series this morning with the first part of what we did an intro on last week, and that is this whole idea of mission. Our conviction at Good Life around mission. What is mission? Does it include everybody? Is it for somebody else? What does it mean for each of us sitting here today? So let's jump in. Well, I don't know what you think of when you hear the word mission, but for a lot of people, it conjures up all different kinds of pictures in their heads. For some people, when you hear the word mission, you think of missionary, those people that we support, that we send from our community to go and serve communities around the world. And often those people are referred to as missionaries. Maybe when you think about mission, you think of an evangelist, a famous evangelist who gets up in front of a big crowd like Billy Graham and preaches the gospel, tells people the good news about who Jesus is, and invites people to become a Christian. Well, today I want to talk about mission in a broader context. I want to talk about it in the wider biblical narrative and this idea that really God has a mission and we get to be part of it, often referred to as the Missio Dei. The invitation for us to join God in His mission to make all things new, to renew all things. It's the reconciliation of all things. And it pretty much works like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when He created it, He had a plan and a purpose for creation, all of the cosmos. And as part of that, here on this planet, we were invited to join Him in stewarding and looking after all creation. But you probably know the story that as time and as the story has unfolded, we as a humanity have not done a great job at looking after the earth that we've been given, and we haven't done a great job at looking after our neighbors, the foreigners, the people that are maybe not quite just like us. And so the story throughout the beginning, from the beginning all the way through Scripture, is that God has never given up on His people, that God has never given up on His creation. And God's mission has always been to make all things new, and we get to be invited into that story. I want to read to you a passage from the Gospel of John that really is our kind of key passage for what I'm going to share over the next few minutes. And it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and verse 19. And the account is that on the Sunday evening, this is after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And then suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. So it's kind of like a surprise scenario. It's like, whoa, where did you come from? And He says to them, "Peace be with you." And as He spoke, He showed them the wounds in His hands and His side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, He said, "Peace be with you." And this is the key line that I want you to catch this morning. He says, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." And then He breathed on them and He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, if you were here at last week's message, you would have heard me make reference to Acts chapter 2 and the story of the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God comes upon His people and empowers them to go into the world and to testify, to announce to the world the good news that Jesus really is Lord of all creation, that God has not given up on His creation or any people, and that He is for them, and that He's inviting us to change the way we live, to say goodbye to this old way of living that's destruction and does injustice to the world, and to join Him in the new creation that He has come to establish. And that's really the context here. Jesus breathes on His disciples. And so for us, it's for us to say, we receive Your Holy Spirit, God, and we want to join You in the new thing that You're doing. Okay, so I want to share two big ideas this morning as we think about this whole idea that we've been invited to join God in what He's doing in making all things new, and His commitment to restore all creation, and Jesus' invitation to His disciples filled with the Holy Spirit to be seen as a sent people. And this is really the big idea we're talking about today. And it's this idea that every single one of us is invited to really be on mission with God, to be a missionary, to be a sent person who represents Jesus and His kingdom, His way of love to the world around about us. The first thought I want to share with you this morning is this. It's this idea that God is with everyone. God is with everyone. We know in Scripture, we read in the book of Matthew, the account where it says that Jesus' name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, this is a really profound and huge statement. It was prophesied by Isaiah that his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. And so this great hope and expectation is that now God is not distant and some in some far off distant place, but God is actually among his people. He is with us. And this is the great thing that we get to embrace and enjoy now, but forevermore. The problem is that sometimes as religious communities, we see this idea of God with us as being just with us, like just the church. When really the story has always been throughout all creation, throughout the entire biblical narrative, that God is yes with his people that follow him and seek to follow him, but he's actually with and for all people. And this is a profound thing that we need to get our heads around. Rich Velotis says this, God is present and available, offering ultimate love to the world. And we get to participate and being an imitator of who God is and what God is doing in the world as his people. Someone else once said, I heard a preacher once say, God is spirit and God needs a body. And we're invited to be his body. We literally are his hands, his feet, his expression of his love and his good news to all creation and to the world around about us. And so it's a profound thing when we understand that if God is present, we are to be present. If God is present with us and his people, then surely we are to be present with other people as an expression of his love and his goodness. And this is just one of the many aspects about what it means for us to be on mission with God, to fundamentally see ourselves as representatives of God, to see ourselves, as we've been saying a few times now, I want to be the kind of person that when I turn up to any environmental situation, people could be thinking or feeling or perhaps even say, thank God you're here. Thank God you're here. Rather than, ugh, it's really unfortunate that you've turned up. Now, I was thinking the other day, where is a situation where someone's going to be thinking, I'm not very happy that you've turned up? And I was thinking, you know what? I hope the only scenarios would be where someone says, I'm not very thankful that you're here, would be when someone's engaging in injustice or in some harmful way that's going to do damage to either creation or to any other person in this world. Because at that moment, we become the advocates just like God, just like Jesus, and just like his people throughout history who have stood up and said, no, God is always on the side of the oppressed. God is always for those who are being, you know, mistreated and forgotten. Because God loves everyone and he wants everyone to live in shalom, peace, harmony, goodness, wholeness. And that's what we get to join him in. So my encouragement with this first thought is to understand this. If we understand that God is with us, what does it mean for us to be with the people that God has sent us to be with? In Matthew chapter 28, we have the great account of what's commonly called the Great Commission. And most of us would know it as this phrase, go into all the world and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I've taught you. This is what Jesus says to his disciples. The phrase, go into all the world, quite literally in the Greek, is translated, in your going. In other words, it's not a command in the sense of, oh no, I feel this pressure that I'm supposed to go somewhere. It's actually, wherever you go, in your going, make disciples. But even that making disciples isn't go and make disciples, right, I've got to go and find a bunch of people, right, come with me, I'm going to tell you the way to live. It's actually an invitation because the word disciple means pupil or student, or better in our context, understood as apprentice. In other words, we're inviting people into a relationship, into community where we say, hey, come and join me as I learn the way of Jesus. Come and join me as we try to work out what does it look like to embrace the way of love, the way of the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And so it's a great challenge. And so one of the things I've been reflecting on as I think about Good Life Community is, what would it look like in our community, through our center, in our local wider neighborhood, in Australia, our nation that we live in? And what would it look like globally if wherever we go, at whatever point of day, day, night, in the future, or right today, what does it look like for us to actually be with people and to represent the very presence of God with whomever we are with? And one of the things that I'm so aware of is We live in a disengaged, isolated world. Increasingly, so much of the world operates online and digitally, but people are lonely. People are struggling. And I just think it would be an incredible testimony to the goodness of God and the reality that God is with us if we could embody that reality in the way that we treat one another at our church, in the way that we serve our neighbors, if we even know them, and the way that we engage with the wider community and the world around about us, locally and globally. And here's my challenge that I want to share with you this morning. When I was a young youth pastor, we used to have two phrases that we used a lot. And one of them was, we used to talk about the be with factor. That the best youth leaders in the world are not those who send out flyers and emails or make a random phone call or send a text. It's the ones that spend quality time with young people, investing in their lives, listening to them, just being with them, hanging out with them, playing basketball, going for a surf, just being interested in them. We called that the be with factor. And we tried to cultivate a culture where we learn as leaders how to just be with the young people and not try to impose ourselves onto them, but actually just be around them and enjoy being with them so that they felt safe. And then we had this other phrase that we used to use, and it was, nobody stands alone. And we used to use this phrase at every single team meeting before we ran an event. We'd say, guys, remember this, nobody stands alone tonight. And the idea was, how can we be others aware? How can, if we're embracing the way of the kingdom of heaven, we can actually have that kind of awareness that we're always on the lookout for someone who's disconnected or isolated or is new? And I think it's an amazing testimony if we can learn, and maybe some of you do this, actually I know for a fact, lots of people at Good Life already do this amazingly. But what would it look like if our entire community wasn't reliant just on a new people's team, which is important and valuable, but that everyone that came to Good Life had and embraced the idea that around here, nobody stands alone. No one sits alone. And we just, even if someone wanted to be alone, we just check in graciously and lovingly just to check that they're okay. What an amazing thing to be on the lookout and to say, does my neighbor need some presence in their life? The presence of God. What does that look like? It often looks like when we just knock on the door and we say, hey, just checking in just to see if you're okay. And so my encouragement is this, remember that God is with us. So what does it mean for us to be with those that he's called us to love and serve? So I've been reading this book. It's a brilliant book called The Deeply Formed Life by Rich Philotas. And one of the things that he tells in this book is this amazing prayer that he wrote. And I need to read this to you because when you read this and you get the context, I think you'll relate. He says, one day I wrote a prayer in my journal in relation to this whole idea about God being with us and what it means for us to be with others. And I said, Lord, today I'm reminded that I'm part of the great story that is developing over thousands of years. You are making all things new. You are restoring the world to yourself. And you are inviting me to join you in this work. So send me to whomever you want. I want to be present to others as you are. He says, as I wrote and I prayed these words, my daughter, who was 4 years of age at the time, asked me to pour her a bowl of cereal. And I took her request as an annoying distraction while I was having my quiet time. How dare she interrupt my time with God? After all, I was asking him to help me join him in remaking the world. Well, he goes on and he says, begrudgingly, he poured the cereal and he went back to pray. And then it hit me, he says, and I felt conviction in my heart. The act of being lovingly present to her at that moment was a small act of remaking the world. It was unimpressively simple and yet core to what it means to follow Jesus. And here's how my journey entry ended that time. Lord, I've looked at this basic request of cereal as a distraction, and yet joining you in the restoration of the world must include pouring milk and Cheerios for a little girl. And he says, teach me to be lovingly present to my family and anyone that you put in my path today. Amen. Okay, so while I'm standing here in the rain, the next thing that I want to share with you is this. It's this idea that God is for all. God is for everyone. Now, we all like that idea. We all think, yes, we could even sing it, that God, you are for everyone. But the practical reality is, it's a very hard thing to live out when there's lots of people around the world that we don't actually like. that have different political views to us, that sit on the left of us or the right of us, that wear t-shirts that proclaim their particular passion or, you know, social justice issue at the moment that we either agree with or disagree with. And what we find ourselves increasingly doing in the world is joining all the little mini walled up cities that actually put people in all these little compartments. And the great danger for us as God's followers is to actually think that he's for us and not for them. When the reality is, no matter where someone's at, and if anyone demonstrated this perfectly, it was Jesus himself who constantly shocked his disciples with the people because he kept breaking down the walls, he kept changing the scenarios, and surprising even his own disciples with the kinds of people that he hung out with. Tax collectors, prostitutes, people that were religious that he was also challenging because their religiosity was causing oppression for those who were in their religious system. And then he'd go and have meals with those people. Because the amazing thing is, when we know that God is for everyone, it actually changes our posture towards how we engage those people. It means we can't be unloving when we engage them and even disagree with them. We actually want to demonstrate what God's kingdom actually looks like in the way that we actually engage, even with our enemies. And if there's any good example, it's the example of Jesus himself. He's crucified on the cross and he says these words, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." His love, his forgiveness, his grace towards even those who would quite literally have crucified him is extraordinary and an example that we need to follow. Our world is full of walls and division. People set against one another. And part of what it means to be on mission with God is to actually see ourselves as fundamentally joining Jesus in breaking down those walls. Anything that causes a barrier between us and them, between any subculture group. This is the extraordinary thing about the kingdom of heaven. When people turn up to church or when we go and engage with our community, people should be scratching their heads going, "I don't get it. Why are these people hanging out together? Why are these people of, you know, diametrically, you know, opposite political views or different races or different ethnicities and, perspectives on the world, different subcultures, why are they all hanging out together, learning to love one another, listening to one another, trying to better understand the perspectives of other people that they live with? This is what it means for us to love our neighbor. Jesus says to us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the crazy thing is, when one of his followers came after him and said, "Well, hang on a second, when you say that, who exactly is my neighbor?" And so Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, which is an extraordinary story, not just about a guy who goes and helps someone that other people forgot to help or refused to help. It's actually a radically subversive story. The hero of the story is a Samaritan. Jesus tells the story to the Jews who actually can't stand the Samaritans and think they're low-life people, the lowest, the scum of the earth. And he actually tells a story about a gracious, kind, loving Samaritan who looks after a man who's been destroyed on the side of the road, and in the story points out the fact that religious people and other people in different other statuses of society have walked past ignoring this man, thinking, "I don't have time to deal with this person." And Jesus is saying, if you want to be someone who loves their neighbor, you should be like this Samaritan, which is like, whoa! What a crazy story to tell. I actually wonder, when he told that story, was any part of Jesus going, "Okay, I may have to take off now quickly because I'm sure I've pretty much upset a whole bunch of you." Mother Teresa famously once said, "If you judge people, you have no time to love them." I find that so challenging as a follower of Jesus, because even though I don't think I'm generally a judgmental person, I catch myself from time to time with prejudice and judgment of other people and putting them in categories that sets me apart from them, rather than understanding that God is for me. And really, to join God in his mission means I have to practice becoming a person who is with people and who is for people. And one of the things that I want to encourage us as a congregation to do is to think in terms like this. We have missionaries that we support overseas, but every single one of us are called to be a missionary where we are. There are business people in our church that you are called to be a light and a missionary where you are. Not to necessarily go in and say, "Guys, I've got a sermon that I want to preach to you all at the staff meeting today," but literally to demonstrate with your life your love, what it means for God to be with people and to be for people. and live in such a way that people say, what's the reason, as 1 Peter says, what's the reason for the hope you have? And then you get to announce the good news that God is for people, that God is for all of us, and that He's done everything that needs to be done through Jesus, and that His invitation to join Him in the kingdom of heaven is for every single person. And that if we do so, we get to join God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And I often think, which is why I'm so excited about the good news, who doesn't want to be part of that? Which is why one of my Muslim friends says to me all the time, every time I hear you talk about this, I think, we're the same. And even though we have some different religious ideas, there's something that I realize God is with him, God is for him, and he's resonating deeply as I try my very best to join God in explaining and demonstrating what God's kingdom of love looks like. So my encouragement to you is this. What does it look like for you? What does it look like for you to reflect and to think, where is God sending me? In my going, what does it mean for me to represent God in his kingdom? What does it mean for me to love my neighbor? What does it mean for me to get up tomorrow and to see myself fundamentally as on mission with God, to love every single person that I come in contact with? And I tell you what, if you do that and you live your life in a way that embraces everyone, that actually engages justice in whatever's before you, and you actually become a person of hospitality that creates a welcoming table wherever you go, I have no doubt that you will end your day lying in your bed, as exhausted as you may be after your day at work, or all the things that you do managing your kids, or wherever you go to do what you do during the day, but lying with a little smile some nights on your bed going, wow, I got to join God today in his mission to make all things new. So, friends, let's go live out this idea. Nobody stands alone. Let's go and be with those he's called us to be with.